Outside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
Please stay off the roads. Please stay off the roads. You will be helping the first responders who will have to be responding to those calls.
Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner warning everyone to stay off the roads as the South awoke Wednesday to a two-part Arctic mess. Dangerous icy roads reported from Texas and Louisiana, east to Georgia and North Carolina. Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston has seen around 120 flights crash today. Over 1,000 flights combined were called off at the airports yesterday because of the winter storm. GOP House Speaker Paul Ryan says a long-term solution is needed to protect the hundreds of thousands of dreamers in the U.S. He's challenging lawmakers to craft a better policy. DACA has been linked to budget negotiations as the government is set to run out of money at week's end. Investigators think Jerry Chung-Sheng Lee, an ex-CIA agent, is being accused of taking classified material and helping China go after a U.S. spy network. It's believed that he may have information that may have led to the deaths or imprisonment of about 20 CIA sources in the country. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're a CPAP user, soap and water cleaning may leave harmful bacteria, viruses, and mold that can make you sick. That alone will keep you up at night. Until now, SoClean.com is the world's first and only automated hands-free CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. SoClean kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs without soap, water, harsh chemicals, or even equipment disassembly. And now, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 800-768-0158.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean's revolutionary design makes it easy to clean your CPAP and protect you against CPAP-related illnesses. Plus, SoClean works with all popular CPAP devices to clean them in minutes. It really is that easy. Don't risk your health. Call SoClean.com now to try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 800-768-0158. This offer won't last. Call now. 800-768-0158. 800-768-0158.
A Republican lawmaker admonishes President Trump on the Senate floor for how he treats the media. USA's Chris Barnes.
The free press is the despot's enemy, which makes the free press the guardian of democracy.
Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona condemning President Trump for telling what he calls untruths to the American people and for introducing alternative facts to the American lexicon.
When a figure in power reflexively calls any press that doesn't suit him fake news, it is that person who should be the figure of suspicion.
Flake recently announcing he won't be seeking re-election. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The details are still hard to fathom as 13 siblings, malnourished and dirty, were discovered trapped in a home this week at a torture house in Paris, California, as officials have learned that it was never inspected by education officials, even though it's registered as a private home school. David and Louise Turpin have been arrested for the abuse in which they're accused of chaining their children to their beds. David Turpin had been homeschooling his children at the home just east of Los Angeles. This is USA Radio News.
And good afternoon, folks. My name is Richard Scuderi. Our program is called Modern Design. That is the music of Modern Design that happens to be Mighty Love by the Spinners. I'm very happy to have today with me somebody who's quite an expert and a great topic, I think, for 2018, and that is having a healthy home. A number of weeks back, maybe in the late fall, I did run into a lovely lady named Caroline Blas. Okay, we're going to do that together. Caroline, do I have you on the line?
I'm here.
Hi. Caroline, let's do that together. So it's Caroline. The last name is?
Blazovsky.
And she's with a wonderful organization that has Healthy Homes. So let's introduce Caroline and talk a little bit about what we're going to talk about today, Caroline.
Good, great. I'm happy to be here. Thanks so much. And I'm happy to talk about what people can do to make their homes healthier, because we know that just from a health perspective, it really makes a difference if you improve your home. And we know at least 35% of your health is related to your environment. So that's why it's really important.
Absolutely. And what I was reading from your bio and your information is we spend more time in the home, specifically in the winter months, than anything. If we're not working, we're home all the time.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the name of your company, where you're located, a little bit about the background of you yourself.
Okay. So I'm actually a Hunterdon County native. I actually grew up in Hunterdon County, which is always nice. And mm-hmm. then I have a company called My Healthy Home.
My Healthy Home, okay.
And that's in White House, State mm-hmm. New Jersey. But we service clients nationally from and internationally as well, from Maine to California and overseas. So our services are available to everybody.
That's amazing. And I think with what I see happening with a lot of my clients that have young children, there's so many allergies like I've never seen before and new things coming up. And I think a lot of those things could be rectified, if not just maybe made better, by getting some of the toxins, the dust, the mold out of the house. So how did you get involved in this? Were you sort of a very clean kid growing up? What was the origin of you getting involved with having a healthy home? And then we'll talk about some of the specifics and tips and things that you do.
I think it's funny because I was always kind of clean as a kid.
Okay. Well, it does make sense, right?
But no, I originally, like you, because you mm-hmm. also have a media background,
sure.
I originally started in media, mm-hmm. and I worked in New York City, and I developed really, you know, severe allergies at the time.
Right.
And then I found that there weren't really a lot of answers for people who had any kind of allergic condition. You know, you basically went to a physician, they prescribed you Advair or an inhaler or a decongestant or
right.
antihistamine, right?
Benadryl, and then those have side effects.
Right, and then they send you on your way.
Sure.
So I got into, and this is going back, you know, I've been doing this 18 years, so I started investigating, well, what's causing it? What's the actual cause of why I was having allergies? And then I got interested in mold, and I got interested in chemicals, and I went back and did all kinds of education and indoor air quality and building construction and things like that, and I've continued to educate myself in the medical profession now for all these years and have become quite an expert in helping people address these issues.
Well, I think it's, you know, very relevant what's going on now, and I think a new year, a new you, which was our first show of the season, and now getting your home clean and healthy is very, very much topical. I'm going to ask you if you'll hold with us for a little bit. We're going to take a couple of commercial messages, and we'll be right back with more of Modern Design here on WHCR-DB in Flemington. Folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys.
This is really topical. And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I'm an interior designer, contractor, and home stager with two locations, one right here in Ringgoes, New Jersey at 176 Route 31, Ringgoes, New Jersey. My other location is in northern New Jersey in beautiful downtown Maplewood Village. That location is 191B Maplewood Avenue, Maplewood, New Jersey. more information on any of the things that I talk about today, you can contact our studios here or contact me personally at 908-884-0770. We're going to do a quick weather, and then we're going to get back to Caroline and all the things that we're going to do to make ourselves healthier and happier for the new year. The National Weather Service is telling me that it's currently 30 degrees, although I thought it felt a little bit warmer. This afternoon, we're going to have a high of 32, so we're just about there. Tonight, there'll be a low of 14 degrees. On Thursday, it's going to actually be a sunny day and 33 degrees. Thursday night, there'll be a low of 18. On Friday, a beautiful sunny day with a high of 40. On Friday night, it'll be mostly clear with a low of 25. On Saturday, a beautiful sunny day with a high of 47. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of 29. And then finally on Sunday, it says that we're going to have another sunny day with a high of 48. So we are going in the right direction. My guest today happens to be Caroline, I'm going to say this right, Blazovsky.
Perfect.
Okay, great. And she, her company is called again?
My Healthy Home.
My Healthy Home. And why don't you give your website?
Sure. The easiest place to reach us is, you can actually obviously reach us at myhealthyhome.info or also healthyhomeexpert.com. So I think that's a little easier for people to remember.
Healthyhomeexpert.com. Okay, that's good. So we talked a little bit about the origin of you having allergies yourself, being in an environment where you didn't feel well, and then going to doctors and not really being, you know, sort of happy with the outcome and the side effects of medication. What did you do next to evoke opening up doors to new things?
So, I mean, basically, you know, I went back for education, and then I just started to, and this is, you know, when you're going back 20 years ago, when I started realizing there was a connection between mold, for example, in people's homes and how they felt, you know, it was a big shocker, right? People would say all the time, what do you mean? Mold can't make me sick.
What, right.
So, you know, there was a lot of transition, and you develop a pretty tough skin, and it turned out, you know, obviously I was right in all those years of what I was practicing really did pan out. And now we see, I sit on the Indoor Air Quality Board nationally, so, you know, we know that molds cause all kinds of issues, immune system and otherwise. And then, you know, now we obviously are into chemicals, I'm into proteins, so there's a lot of things in a home, to make it real simple, that can cause people to have allergies or not feel well. So what happens now is a lot of physicians send their patients to me when they don't know what's wrong with someone. So you come in, you have all the tests, you have blood tests, you have urine tests, you have scans. Nothing is, you know, comes back abnormal.
Sure.
And the patient doesn't feel well. So a lot of my clients from across the United States do come from physician referrals. And my job is to look at the home and to find out, you know, what's going on? What's your environment like? What are you exposed to? And
right.
I say, you know, easily 80% of the time it is environmental.
It's amazing. And, you know, again, the winter time, where are we most of the time? In our homes.
Exactly.
So, and also, I guess you'd be in an environment in the winter where the heat is on and the and you're not having as much fresh air in. Sometimes we're using our fireplaces, which bring their own toxin with the, if you have a masonry fireplace or even perhaps gas. There are elements in the winter that are conducive to maybe having some problems.
And there, I mean, it's just, so there's fireplaces, there's plumbing issues, there's construction, you know, from building.
Absolutely.
How, what's it built with, what kind of products. And unfortunately, over the last, you know, couple decades or so, we've seen a real influx of a lot of composite construction,
sure.
Building materials with glues and resins, not using solid materials. And these things have caused a lot of volatile organics and, of course, high levels of formaldehyde, which we know cause cancer. I mean, there was a presidential report that went to the president in 2009 that basically said, look, what are the major causes of cancer in this country? And formaldehyde was a huge one.
Scary. And, you know, unfortunately, because of cost, many of us don't always qualify where our building materials are coming from. Years ago, there was a problem with sheetrock that was coming from China. Now, a lot of these materials, these third parties that sell discount flooring and so on, there are you know, health concerns because they're not necessarily as concerned about toxins. And then we're buying these products and installing them in our home.
It's really important to know where it comes from. And actually, we do a test at my company where we can test for Chinese drywall, which was. There's still some of it out there, and occasionally we come across houses. So there's actually, so people can feel comfortable, there are tests that you can do for your air quality that can actually look if you did have a house. Predominantly it was used in the South, but
right.
There were some cases of it in the North.
Yeah, no, it is difficult. And, you know, you can't worry about everything. But if we can be proactive on the front end of the things, I think that's always a good way to go. I decided to do this in a way that I think would affect everybody. And I took a bunch of buzzwords. And I figured what we'd do during the show today is I'd throw things at you. And then we would discuss them. And just one word, one phrase, and then just talk about it in length. And the first one was just the simple word, clean. Can cleaning really make you have a healthier home environment?
Right. So I think that whole word is like a double meaning, right? So
right.
Clean can mean you've used way too many chemicals, way too many toxins.
Sure.
You've basically overloaded your system, and now you've got a lot of carcinogens, right?
So right.
A lot of cleaning products contain what we call VOCs that obviously have negative effects when they accumulate.
VOC, volatile organic compounds. Okay.
And what a VOC is basically when you use it, most even natural things have VOCs, so it's really good for people to understand, like, you could be using something natural like pine or lavender or citrus. Mm-hmm. These things are naturally occurring, but they put off volatiles just like a chemical compound.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Okay.
So people will say to me, well, I don't, you know, I'll go in to test the home, and they'll say, well, we don't use any chemicals. We only use essential oils, right?
Okay.
And then I get the test results back, and their volatile organics are off the chart. And it's just as bad as living in a toxic home. They've just done it naturally.
Sure.
So that's a really big, you know, understanding. Like, it's the word clean, right? It's the same thing with green. Just because something's natural doesn't mean it's good for you in abundance. So everything, you know, in moderation.
One of my college jobs is I worked for a marketing company out in Long Island, and we would demo different products. And I remember being in my teens, and I would I was doing a product in supermarkets and stores called Simple Green.
Right.
And
right.
It was supposed to be a very, you know, healthy, organic substance. I wonder if it's still in production today. Is it something that you recommend?
A lot of the commercial products still have a lot more volatiles than I would prefer.
Okay.
So, you know, with my clientele, I'm really basic about, you know, you don't have to go crazy with the chemicals. You can use things like baking soda. You can use Oxy Boost products that are hydrogen peroxide based.
Right.
You can use vinegar and water. I mean, these things work so effectively. You don't need to use a plethora of chemicals to get something clean.
And these chemicals are expensive.
Yeah, well, that's one. I mean, look, you save a lot of money by just going to Costco or you know, BJ's and buying a huge bottle of vinegar and water, splitting it 50-50. So in a spray bottle, just take 50 white vinegar, 50% water, and use that to clean your hard surfaces. You can use it on your flooring. You can use it on your desk, your countertops. It's not going to do anything. So, you know, the only thing I worry is, like, if you've got, like, a granite, like a stone countertop, you don't really want to use the acid. So I usually will say use a mild detergent and water. But, you know, there's a lot of non-toxic things you can use that aren't expensive.
Interesting. Second buzzword I have for you is dust.
Dust is bad.
Let's talk about dust, the origin of dust. I would imagine a certain amount of dust is just naturally occurring, correct?
Yeah, so that's a good question.
Okay.
People don't really know where dust comes from, but so what happens is, think about this. We shed dander just like pets do. People think it's always pets. Like, they'll say, oh, we have high dander counts. It's a pet. We are not hyperallergenic people, so we shed dander just like pets do. And when these things accumulate, it causes dust, or what we call dust mites, because they feed on this dander. So if you get all this particulate and dander that you're shedding off and you're not cleaning properly, it builds up. You get dust mites. Dust mites, not to be graphic, but they also poop. And when they poop, they put a protein out there that causes inflammation in the body.
So, oh, my goodness. We're going to have to slow this down a little bit. To you, I know it's second plate, but there's just, you're giving us so much good knowledge. So let's back up a little bit. So let me ask you a question about the dust. What I have noticed, not only in my own home, but I work in different homes every single day, I always notice there's much more dust in the master bedroom,
yes,
than there is in any other room in the house.
Oh my God, you're so observant, Richard. Do you want to come back?
And the reason that I assumed that, I started to see that because it happened at every place I went to, even if the home was clean,
yes,
was because I thought for just that it was dry skin or you're shedding skin.
Yes. That's
does the dust turn into dust mites? Like, how does that evolve?
It's a food source for them, right?
Okay.
So dust mites won't come if they don't have a food source. And they're just like molds or people, they need food, air, and water to breathe. So
okay,
you give them the right conditions. You give them relative humidity, which could come off your body, moisture, right? We sweat in the night.
Right.
That's why you get a lot of it in bedrooms, because you get mattresses,
sure,
and pillows, and all the stuff that collects the dust.
Right.
And then they come. And that way, dust is a big offender. People often say, oh, no, I vacuum. I vacuum and I clean my house, and then I take a sample, and their dust mites and their dander off the charts. And
wow.
You can't see it. It's microscopic. I mean, occasionally you see dust, you know, if you see a lot of it accumulating. But when you see it in an air sample, it's really incredible.
So if you do have dust mites and you find this out, how do you get rid of dust mites? By dusting? I mean, what do you do to get rid of it?
It's really getting rid of the food sources in the dander, dander we talk about. So it's changing your sheets frequently, right? Making sure you vacuum. I have a rule of thumb. So how many people live in the house,
right.
That's how many times a week you have to vacuum
with
a HEPA vacuum.
With a HEPA filter. Isn't that great? So is there a specific vacuum you recommend?
You know,
or you like?
I personally have Miele.
Okay.
I have like four of them. So I use, you know, I tend to gravitate towards sending people, but there's a lot of great vacuums out. I do like something that contains the dust, because if you put something in the corner and it's just collected in a bag, it still can affect you, like in an upright. So I tend to steer my customers and clients towards canister vacuums with caps. So when you have a child or an individual that's really sensitive to allergens, that dust from that bag isn't leaching out, you know, into the environment. So you want sealed systems.
Right. But then I would imagine you would want that dust to collect in that container and then discard it somewhere.
Yes.
Outside the house.
Right.
I often feel when people are vacuuming, that dust is sitting collecting in that bag, and somehow it goes back into the environment or the carpet.
If it's a sealed system, no. Right. So when you open up the container, you know, mm-hmm. the door to look to where your bag is. If you see debris outside of that bag, like, so if you open your vacuum, and I see people do this all the time, and there's all this dust in there.
Yeah, when they open the vacuum, I've seen that as well.
Right, so you're defeating the purpose. You're absolutely right. That's just going back out. So, like, if you open my vacuum and you come and look, you'll be like, oh my God, it's immaculate, because everything's staying in the bag. And I don't allow the bag to get more than a half filled.
Oh, yeah.
Is it environmentally responsible? No, but it's one of my green things that I'll kind of lax on, because I don't want you getting that bag to the top, because the chance of it escaping and getting out is much greater, like you're talking about.
So when we get that bag half full, we're going to take it, what, outside and then discard it in the garbage?
It. Yep. And so, you know, you want to get rid of and do these things outside the house. Like, don't open up your vacuum inside the house. If you have a porch or something, just take the vacuum outside.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just blowing stuff around, and then it's sort of defeating the whole purpose.
Amazing. These little tips make such a difference. Next buzzword, less clutter.
Oh, well, that goes back to dust mites.
Okay.
And when you have clutter, you cannot clean around it. You can't get rid of the dust mites. You get mold that grows when you put things up against concrete foundations and walls. And, you know, you're giving things food sources, and you just can't clean. And if you can't clean, you're not going to feel well. And this all comes back to inflammation. What we try to do is reduce inflammation in the body to help reduce disease. These types of things just all contribute to high inflammation, which can contribute to getting sick.
I've been reading a lot about inflammation, and I try to naturally, in foods and things of nature that I read upon that are anti-inflammatories, just absorb them. Now, I don't know for this to be true, but I read that cinnamon is a good anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
And so
there's a whole inflammation diet too that you can follow.
Not only does inflammation, if we're going to be a little bit vain here, not only does inflammation cause disease, which is the primary reason you would want to eliminate that, but inflammation causes aging.
Absolutely.
So I try now in the morning when I have my cup of coffee, or a second cup if I have the time to get it in, I don't put any sugar in my coffee, but I do put cinnamon in my coffee, because I hear that it's a good anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, they say that it is supposed to be excellent. And so, for other things too, cardiovascular health.
Sure. I mean, your overall body health. So anything that's going to avoid inflammation is, see how much we're learning already? Boy, this is pretty good, isn't it?
Well, and the other things too, speaking of indoor air quality,
mm-hmm.
when you talk about a lot of these chemicals that we talk about, what specifically POPs, which are persistent organic pollutants, and people don't have to know that name, but they just have to know that chemicals also can act as estrogen mimickers. They can affect your neurologic system, and they can actually fool the body and be what we call obesogens. So these things can make you fat. They can make you your hormones fluctuate. So a lot of these chemical compounds really can mess with your whole the dynamics of your body. So it's important not to really store a lot of chemicals in the home for that reason alone.
You know, you're very right. And I think the closer we can, I'm trying to do this with my eating, the closer you keep things to the earth, I think the safer and the better off you are.
Yep.
I think we've gotten a little, you know, out of control with things because of greed and money and so on, and we're bringing things that are harming us into our world. I mean, we have to be, you know, relatively, you know, fair with it, not get nuts, but at the same time, I think that's very true. Mm-hmm. My next word for you is humidifier. Good or bad?
Okay. Humidifiers. One, I love dehumidifiers.
Okay.
I think everybody should have a dehumidifier. And
but that's my next word, so I don't want to go there yet. Okay. I want to talk about humidifier because I'll give you this.
Okay.
In the winter months, in the newer homes, you have that forced air heat, which is very drying. And the dryness causes, you know, the skin to be all over the room and
right. The
dust and so on. Adding humidity into a room helpful or harmful?
Okay, so I'm going to say this.
Okay.
In the winter, when you've got to have, you want to keep relative humidity between 30% and 50%.
30% and 50%. Okay.
That's my ideal.
Okay.
I mean, you can go in the winter; you'll go under that, Richard, just because it's so dry, like you said.
Because I think you might need a balance. I wouldn't use a humidifier all year, but I'm just saying this is what the doctors have been saying: use
right.
a humidifier in the winter months. Okay.
So you can. I don't like the whole house system units because, one, they're problematic. They can build calcium buildup in your actual HVAC system. You know how people can put them on their HVAC system?
Yeah, I heard that's that could cause mold, I heard.
Yes.
It's a negative. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So a negative to it. It also can build up calcium deposit, clog tubing. You can get leaks. So I'm not a big fan of it.
Right.
If you want to use a portable unit,
right.
That's okay. It should have an ultraviolet light on it to help kill bacteria because what we find is if you run this humidifier consecutively for weeks, you may act and get a cold, you may actually be prone to sinus infection.
Huh. Very interesting.
It's because the bacteria that, you know, it builds up in the, and you become more susceptible to getting any kind of extended infection. So, yes, you can use it. You need to keep it extremely clean, and I would do a UV light. They have units that have UV light application on
it. UV light built into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, what my doctor had said was just in the bedrooms, just for the period of time you're sleeping, off in the morning, fresh water every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Now, dehumidifiers, typically equated with basements, but not necessarily. Let's talk about that.
Correct. So I like to see a house maintain relative humidity. Like I said, you can go under 30%. You want to go to Home Depot. I say everybody should have one. You want a hygrometer. And, you know, don't spend a lot of money. $12, that's it. You know, cheap temperature and relative
okay.
humidity. It's just a little digital monitor. You put it in the lowest level of your home.
Sure.
Basement, or if you're on a slab, you'll put it on the bottom, you know, on the floor, actually.
Right.
And then you watch it, and you want to stay between 30 and 50%. If you're consecutively getting under 30 and you stay there, that can dry out your sinus passages, and then you can be more susceptible to colds and viruses. So that's when you might want a humidifier, okay?
Right.
So
right.
too low can make you susceptible to colds and viruses. Too high brings moisture, dust mites, bugs, mold, and all this stuff, funky stuff. So...
So
in that range.
Yeah, so your range is 30 to 50.
And everyone should be monitoring it. It'll lengthen the materials in your home, prevent less, you know, cracking and sagging of your woods and things like that. So it not only is good for the integrity of the structure of your home, but it's good for the health of your home and you. And it's so simple to do, and people just, you know, need to get one.
No, very sure. All right, we're going to take another quick set of commercial messages. Please stay with us. We'll be back with more of Modern Design right after this.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi, and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. We've been doing our program for about 4 years now. It went by very quickly. We have such a terrific lineup this year of programs. We have added YouTube and Facebook Live, so you're going to be able to watch Modern Design now. And we're going to have a lot of guests in studio. And Caroline is going to, we weren't able to do it today, but Caroline is going to come in studio later in the year, I hope. And we're going to do some of the stuff in person. We can bring in some visual aids to talk a little bit more or get the point across of some of the things that we're talking about. The next thing, Caroline, I want to talk to you about is sump pumps, importance of sump pumps.
And sump pumps are good because they obviously allow your basement to drain, right, mm-hmm. to drain properly. I also like sump pumps because we can use them when we're going to dehumidify, which we were just talking about. It's a great way for drainage. So when you put a dehumidifier in a basement, you've got to have somewhere to drain.
For it to go, right.
So, and that's a big problem. And in New Jersey, I mean, most of the homes that we work on, everybody's got to have a dehu here because of our climate. And that's a different issue. I mean, we can go into that in a different show. But because of our climate, we're really prone to humidity and moisture and mold. So you need to have a dehu, and that makes a sump pump a great investment.
Now, are we more susceptible because we have the issue, like for myself, because I'm a builder, a contractor, and a designer, often people that have homes that are stucco or drive it have problems because of the freezing and thawing. Is that true just in general with the environment because we go through the seasons?
That's why we really need to be building according to climate.
Sure.
Every climate is different, and
right.
the problems that we face here, and because of our vast temperature differences, right? So we get cold, and then we get hot. And when you have these temperatures meeting, so say you have a cold basement foundation, your basement all winter long, it's freezing. Now we go into spring, and spring is the worst for mold, and people don't realize this because the concrete's still cold from the winter, the ground. Then you get this influx of 80-degree weather. This meets in your basement or in your slab or flooring, and then you condensate.
Right.
That just temperature changes, right?
Right.
This water vapor form, you never have to flood, never have to have any kind of pipe break. People think, oh, to have mold, you need to have water. And
no, but now the water's there through the water vapor, right?
Right. And the water vapor in New Jersey, because of these vast swings, like, you know, when we had the other day, we had 65 degrees. After it's been negative 15, not good for water vapor. If you look at your relative humidity, it'll be 80%. It's ridiculous. And then you get mold, and people say, well, I didn't do anything. I didn't have a pipe break. Just, it's the temperature that's doing it, the climate.
Could we talk about basements for a second? Because I have a couple of things that I often suggest to people, but I think you would be better served to do that. I'm not a big fan of finished basements. I think that unless you have children, a lot of people don't like to go below grade anyway, so I'm not a big fan of it. But for storage purposes, because you are going to be accessing those things, I like to try to do two things. One is, and this is probably bad, I like if you have a basement that's a block foundation, I do like to use dry lock because it keeps water out of the basement, and I like to use some sort of a low VOC floor paint, and I feel to me that's a layer or a buffer. I'm curious of your opinion of those two things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's not bad.
Well, what would you recommend?
The dry lock, the problem that I have with it,
mm-hmm.
is with waterproofing materials,
mm-hmm.
we get into an issue now of what's called a POP.
POP, okay.
And these are persistent organic pollutants, and they are things that affect your immune system, your endocrine system. Remember, we talked about this previously. So the waterproofing materials are really prone to these chemicals, so that's my one concern with it. Two, it really hasn't been shown to me to be that effective with water control, especially if you've got a lot of water up against the foundation. It's going to come in. So
mm-hmm.
it can help maybe a little with water vapor, but it's not the complete answer. I think it makes it look like a better finished space just because you're from an aesthetics standpoint. You know, a lot of people do it, and I'm not against it for that, but you do have to realize that it's not really going to control your moisture. The only way you can really control moisture is to use a dehumidification system in the basement. That's it. I mean, you have to. In New Jersey, you've got to be using a commercial-grade dehu, not a Home Depot or a Lowe's, a 70 tank. Here we need to use something that takes out like 120 pints of water.
And then I've been in homes where people do have a dehumidifier in the basement, but it's just full to the rim, and it, the water just sits there.
Right, you have to have one that is a continual drain.
And then it goes into the pit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's continuously set, and it's taking out all that water. And then it, then you can have a finished basement. I mean, in New Jersey now, if you finish your basement, within 2 years, you'll have a mold or a musty smell now because of the climate change.
Sure. And the water table is higher. I mean, there's been such changes that I'm not a big fan. And, you know, in New Jersey, in residential real estate, you can't include the square footage of your basement in the square footage of your home in a listing.
You're speaking my language.
Right.
I say this all the time to my clients. Like, you do not want to finish a basement. Plus,
no.
You've got all your combustibles, right? You've got
your furnaces. Oh, right, exactly.
You've got radon potential. You have, you know, in older houses, you might have lead. You've
sure.
got all kinds of issues. Do you really want your children playing down in that space? It's not, to be subgrade is not a healthy environment.
I think it's for utilities, and it's a sort of a buffer between the living
yes.
floors.
Oh my God, that's exactly what I say all the time. It's so funny.
But my question to you is, a lot of people need the basement for storage. How do you feel about clothes, Christmas items, that if they're in that environment,
if they're going to store it, they've got to have dehumidification. They have to. And then you can go, but you got to go up, like go like metal shelving.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do anything like on the ground. You never want to be right on top of
it. You don't want to be right on the ground. You want to be stack them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So up, you know, not on the ground. You can do like some metal shelving. Metal obviously doesn't grow mold, so I'm more prone to it.
Right.
It's less organic.
Out in Hunterdon County where the homes are bigger, often we don't see as many basements finished. But my other store is in, my other location is in Maplewood where the houses were built, you know, before the turn of the century and in the early teens and 20s, and those houses are tiny, so people often finish their basement just because of the lots are smaller and they don't have the ability to expand. So in northern New Jersey, you see a ton of finished basements.
And then you've got issues. You know, you've got older construction.
Right.
You've got, you know, asbestos issues. And
sure.
Now we have the formaldehyde and the glues and resins and those types of issues. Back then you had, you know, lead and you have asbestos and other things that can be problematic. But to me, you need a basement in the Northeast, okay, because
right.
that's your buffer, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
You need to keep it unfinished, and if you keep it unfinished, you won't grow mold because mold won't grow on cement. It needs a food source.
So right, it needs food source. Very good point, actually.
Paper, you know, building products, et cetera, just proliferate the mold. So that's my recommendation, but, you know, people love to have the finished basements and movie theaters and all that stuff. And if you're going to do it, you have to dehumidify. There's no way around it, or you'll be, you know, moldy in a couple years.
No, I agree with that. My next word is sheetrock. Mm. Let's talk about building. Let's talk about additions. Let's talk about sheetrock in general. Concerns about sheetrock. We talked a little bit about Chinese sheetrock, which not everybody knows about. Let's talk about sheetrock in general.
Yeah, sheetrock is not all the same.
Right.
So depending on what, and I'm talking from a, like, let's just say we're talking about straight, we're not talking about waterproof, or we're just talking about green board. We're
sure.
talking about straight drywall.
Drywall.
All different companies contain different products. Some of the gypsum is recycled.
Right.
Some of it is actually naturally occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these companies add in extra additives, like vinyl products, which I'm really anti.
Mm.
So really, picking drywall, even though it seems like such a benign thing that you do,
no,
there actually are better drywall companies than
sure.
others. And now they're actually using, you know, they're making the lightweight drywall, so that's actually got, like, soap in it. It actually creates kind of bubbles, so it makes it lighter weight, so you can move it. So,
what about what I've read about of paperless sheetrock?
Yeah, they have the paperless sheetrock now. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Is there one that you may recommend?
I used to go, what did I use recently? I used to like Lafarge, but Lafarge actually stopped making drywall, so they were bought out.
Mm.
And what did I put in last time? Gosh, I can't remember the last job we did. Either Gold Bond I like, and the other one is, I'm drawing a blank. It's not USG. USG puts too many additives for me. It's Gold Bond, and then there's another brand out there. And either of those were okay. I stay away from USG just because I don't like a lot of, they put extra product in there that I'm not a big fan of.
My next word to you is smoke detectors.
Well, you've got to have them.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you have one with a carbon monoxide detector.
Sure.
you know, that's pretty much standard now.
Are they usually combined? Like, for myself, I have a obviously a smoke detector in all the bedrooms and in all the corridors, but I only have carbon monoxide detectors in the bedroom, and also I have it next to where there are mechanicals.
Yeah, that's good. That's what you wanted. I mean, you want to definitely have it near the mechanicals, and the kitchen area is also good to have it, one, if you can. And mm-hmm. people have to remember, these devices, though, are set for very high levels, right? So when you put one in, you can have a very low carbon monoxide leak and get very, very sick from it over an extended period of time. So my recommendation is, if you have natural gas or propane, and even oil, but, you know, typically you see it a lot more with natural gas, you need to call and have these things checked every once, every 2 years, I'd say. Have mm-hmm. somebody come out from the gas company and just have them run a monitor. They have a little tube that they'll run for CO, and they'll look at if you're leaking gas. It's really important to do it.
Right.
Because if you don't, one, you can have an explosion, and then you'll damage your environment completely. But two, these little gas leaks can make you really, really sick. I've seen it many, many times, and nobody knew. You know, the stove was just leaking slightly, the furnace was. So you're not bothering the gas company. Have them come out and check it and just make sure that everything is okay. Because you'll never know. The carbon monoxide detectors, you know, they won't go off until it's a really big level.
Until it's a big level. Mm-hmm. So smoke detectors, a must in every bedroom, correct?
Yeah.
Carbon monoxide detectors in every bedroom where someone's sleeping, and in the where the mechanicals are.
Correct.
And you said in the kitchen. Okay. Let's talk about gutters on houses, gutters and roofs.
Well, let's see. What's interesting about gutters? I would say that I'm not a big fan of gutter guards, which people might think like.
Interesting to talk about, because I have a 50-50 on that when I talk about gutter guards. Some people say terrific. Some people say, nope, not good at all.
You got to be careful which ones you get.
Okay.
Because the gutters are there to actually flow the water, right? And
right.
So what happens a lot with the gutter guard is that it actually restricts the amount of water that's flowing off the roof into the gutter.
Right.
And then you can get overflow.
Right.
And you really want to remove water from around your roof, your house. That's the whole point of the gutter. So
yeah, sitting water does a lot of bad things.
Right. And then, of course, when you get backup, like ice damming and stuff that happens in the wintertime.
Sure.
Then you get issues where it's blocked up. So you want your gutters to be open, clean, moving. You don't want debris. You don't want leaves. You don't want nests. You really need to go up there, even if you remove the trees. Like, we used to have a lot of trees, and we'd get more leaves.
Sure.
But then after the Hurricane Sandy, we had a lot less trees, right? So,
right.
And I thought, oh, well, the gutters are going to be clean. But then the birds start, and they start nesting in there, and they can clog up your gutter, like, really quickly. So every year, you really need to be pretty vigilant about getting the stuff cleaned out and cleared out, because that's what's going to have roof leaks and contribute to problems around your on your you know, your overhangs. You can get, you know, all kinds of issues with water damage, so you really need to do it. Keep them clean.
Next word, kitchen and bathroom ventilation.
Gotta have your vents.
Right. Well, I'll talk to you about this just because I've, you know, one of the things, sometimes I flip houses and people will come in and they'll say, first thing they say in the kitchen, hood vents in or vent out. Thoughts?
As far as, you mean putting in the kitchen area?
In the kitchen area. Specifically the kitchen. Sometimes they ask about the bathroom, but the kitchen, about the venting. And it, to me, it's critical that when you're in a kitchen environment, that the hood is useless unless it vents to the outside.
Oh, correct.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Got to have ventilation, especially if you're someone who cooks avidly. I mean, look, every house should have it over the stove.
Right.
And now, you know, they have the flush mount, which I think are really cool. Like, you know, because the time now, you know, they had the big hoods coming down, right? That's still in style.
Right.
But now what I like is they have the flush mount where it opens up and then it sucks the air up. I really like them. So you don't have this big, you know, cumbersome looking, you know, metal duck hanging down in your island or whatever. It frees you up some space. I think they're really neat. I also like the energy recovery ventilator units they have for bathrooms now. So you always had a vent, you know, people say it takes the air out, takes the humidity out. That's all really good, especially, you know, because bathrooms do get a lot of high relative humidity. But now they have energy recovery ventilators, which actually exchange the air and can bring fresh air in. Panasonic makes one.
I was going to say, I'm so happy with the Panasonic one.
I do kitchens
and bathrooms all the time.
Yep.
They're so good looking. They just look like a light. I mean, and they are quiet. And I encourage anybody that has an older bathroom to add that. The Panasonic product really impressed me.
Yeah, me too. That's I have the Panasonics in my own bathroom.
Right.
When I redid them. And the energy recovery one is really cool. So it basically allows you to bring fresh air in and do air exchanges, which I'm all for. But you got to have an outside wall location. You know, sometimes in bathrooms you don't have the outside wall to go to, or you can't get a vent on it. So that's exactly one issue that, you know, can come into play. But I do like them.
Next word for you, candles.
Candles. You got to go with vegetable-based candles.
Okay.
No petroleum-based paraffin candles. Try to stay away from the synthetic fragrances because they contribute to your volatile organics. It's really not the greatest thing to be burning candles all the time in your home. You will build up all kinds of particulate. So you have to understand that they don't burn cleanly necessarily, and you're putting off a lot of debris that compromises your indoor air quality.
You know, and I sell a lot of them in both of my stores specifically, is candles. The LED candles or the battery operated candles really used to be terrible looking, but they're getting better and better and better.
That's what I would lean towards.
How do you feel about them?
I think that's great. I really do. I mean, look, you've got fire hazards, one. You know, I'm all about health and safety. And
sure.
That's my job, right? So I look at what's going to be healthy and safe.
Right.
So from an indoor air quality perspective, you're putting a lot of particulate. Do I care if you're going to burn candles around the holidays? Of course not. You know, I think that's everybody wants ambiance. It's great. I'm fine with that. But you really don't want to get in the habit of burning these things every day. And people do.
And I tell you, the LED candles now, they're so much better than they used to be. You can't tell. If you take an LED candle, battery-operated candle, and you put it in some sort of a votive or a container, you can't tell. You can't tell.
I have one. So I have a couple. Actually, I have a couple of them, and they're great, right?
Right. Let's talk about one that is I get more controversy than anything, and that is home fragrance. Mm-hmm.
So your house should really smell like nothing to begin with.
Correct. Okay?
So it should be benign, and what happens is if you start to use all these fragrances, you're not going to be really able to smell what's going on in your house on a fundamental level, base. So you molds and things, if you're starting to have to compensate for something, there's a problem. So whether it's pets, whether it's mold, whether it's dust, you have to start looking at the sources and not just covering it up. Now, if you want to do occasional fragrance, like, you know, I'll lean more towards the natural fragrances like we talked about, the essential oils, or if you want to do peppermint or lemon. But when you start to get into any of these things, whether they're green or not, you're going to launch up a bunch of volatile organics into your space, and significantly. So, like, for a normal house, you want to be 500 and under is my range. I don't expect you to live in a bubble. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
You're allowed 500 volatile organics, okay? And a lot of those are carcinogenic. You have gasoline in your home. You have all kinds of things that are there.
Right.
When you add these extra fragrances in, now you're talking about you're getting into higher levels, and they're just not necessary for your body. It's more inflammation, more things your body has to process. So just think about it when you're using it. Make common sense decisions. Don't use it all the time. Moderation is key.
I do something, and you feel free to criticize me. I don't believe in bringing chemicals or spraying chemicals into the air because I think you're breathing them, you're absorbing them. But one of the things that I like to do, here we go again with my cinnamon, is I will take cinnamon and put it in a frying pan with just, you know, water, tap water, natural water, and I will do a slow simmer with cinnamon.
It's
good,
fine.
Bad, or indifferent?
No, it's fine.
It gives you a fragrance.
Moderation.
Maybe on the weekends or you're having company coming.
Right.
I just think it gives a pleasant smell, almost as if you're baking.
Yeah,
but to me, there's no chemicals in ground cinnamon. Maybe there are, and I don't know that there are. But
all these essential oils and cinnamon, I'm sure, breaks down into the same kind of compounds. The problem is with the essential oils, when you heat them, okay, they actually go into a smaller molecular compound that actually essential oils have been shown to actually have the ability to shut down people's kidneys and also shut down organ function.
But I would imagine in very, very high levels.
Not really.
Wow.
So, and I've never heard anything with cinnamon, but I'm using it like people who use a lot of essential oils in like spas and salons and things like that. So 15 minutes a day, that's it. You don't want to exceed that. That's my limit. So you can burn your cinnamon, do it for about 15 minutes, and then you cut it off. Don't have it going like all day long.
What about citrus? A lot of people tell me, and not as popular now, but I would say maybe 5 or 10 years ago, you save the citrus skin and then you put it in your garbage, or you have citrus skin out because you get the citrus oils.
Mm-hmm. And again, natural, but it's also volatile organic. It's called D-limonene, which is what you're smelling, right? That citrusy volatile. And that, of course, is a volatile organic. So if you want to reduce volatiles, if you have prone to inflammation, if you're chronically sick, if you have asthma, allergies, you want to reduce VOCs, you want to stay away from these things because they can produce a VOC.
Right.
So it doesn't mean not 15 minutes a day, you're fine. Just don't overdo it. And if you are prone to asthma conditions, it may just be something you need to avoid. You know, it's just not good for you in particular.
I want to go with probably the biggest one. Now, Mavenhill Designs is 21 years old, and with that comes Mavenhill Painting. So I paint homes every week. More and more and more people are looking. They're willing to spend more money, but they want lower VOC paint. And I wanted to get your feeling on that. I wanted to feel if it makes even enough of a difference, and just some general observations, because I'm just seeing it all the time.
Yes. Well, the VOC, it's very interesting. If you paint your home, okay, those VOCs hang around for 18 months, up to 2 years. So people who frequently paint their homes and consecutively, you know, people want to change their color like they change their shoes, you're subjecting yourself to very high levels of volatiles. That's the first thing to be said, okay?
Okay.
Yes, using low volatile paint is much better. I would definitely recommend it. The difference is that we swap chemicals, right? So
right.
When we look at it from a laboratory perspective, and we've talked about this at like lab meetings and things that I have with, you know, different people in the field, that when we're analyzing these compounds, right? So you're swapping chemicals. What happens is there's still a chemical compound there. It's just at a very minute level to your senses, and it stays for a longer duration than the hit you in your face volatile organics that are off the charts. So you do trade things off. And there's different chemicals that are involved, and then the lower VOC paint will stay at a lower level for a longer duration of time than just a strong VOC paint that maybe will be 6 months and then it dissipates. But either way, I still lean towards the low VOC paint, absolutely.
I have a job I'm working on right now, and the children have asthma, and the homeowners came to me the other day, and they said there's I wish I knew more about it, and we'll follow up in another show, in Roseland, New Jersey, that has a type of paint. He'll match any formulation, but it's the lowest VOC that you can find, and he'll match any color, and it's his livelihood. This is his business and what he does. So I don't know if you've heard of any other solutions or things that you can use. I mean, when you have to paint, you have to paint. That's it.
Yeah.
So.
And there's a lot of low VOC companies now. And what people have to realize, like, don't buy into the zero VOC, because there's no such thing.
Well, it's chemicals. It's paint. It's not, you know.
People, but they were able to market it as
sure.
Zero VOC. And people go, well, that's better than low. And you're always getting volatiles when you paint.
Sure.
So it's, you know, it's more like, does it hit you in the face? And then if you're really asthmatic, does it trigger something? And it's best if you have people who are sensitive to paints, really have them avoid it for like the first week, because that's like really the worst time, you know, and then see how they do bringing them in. I'm one of the people that, like, if you paint and you bring me in, I'll get a migraine. You know what I mean? So
I
know to stay away from it for a week or so, and I'm fine.
Let's talk up. I'm sorry.
Listen to your body.
What about radon? Let's talk about radon. Let's you know, so many people are still so confused about radon, and I'll start with this, and then I'll allow you to have you expand on it. Radon is a naturally occurring gas. There's nothing necessarily inherently wrong with radon. It's when it gets trapped, then you can go on with it from there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So it's an odorless, colorless gas.
Right.
It's a carcinogen when it becomes trapped in the home.
Sure.
And it's something that affects everybody in all 50 states.
Right.
We have it everywhere. And that's why it's really important to test for it. I like the fact that, you know, we obviously test for it in New Jersey using, you know, when you buy a home.
Right.
A lot of the time what happens is you buy a house and test for radon comes back and it's below 4 picocuries, which is your, you know, the range that you're supposed to be below. And then all of a sudden you say, oh, we're going to remodel. So we're going to put on siding. We're going to change doors. We're putting on more energy efficient, you know, windows and doors and whatever. Now all of a sudden nobody tests the radon and maybe someone gets lung cancer. And then we go back in and we test the radon and we see that the level's now 65. So when you change things on your house, make it the building envelope tighter, which I'm not a big fan of, and don't ventilate, then you cause these things to accumulate. So if you make changes to your house, you need to test for radon again. You can go down to a local hardware store, Home Depot, wherever you prefer, pick up the radon test that they have. They're 2-canister tests, and you should do this like every 10 years. And if you make changes, then you want to do it more frequently. Put them in your basement. Send them out. They're about $35. It's
right.
Not expensive to do. You should do it.
Maybe there is, but you know, I know with my radon detection system, filtration system, I see it's going on. I hear the noises and so on. But I would think that a radon system that you have on your house should have a level on it. So at any time, you should be able to see what the level is.
Yeah, the problem is you don't even know how many houses I've been in, Richard, where these systems, they sound like they're on and they're not even working.
No, I know.
The fans go out all the time.
The fans are going, but they're not working.
Yeah, it happens. Like, so I really don't trust them, to be honest with you. So, I mean, it can. I've seen it so many times that it happens. So, really, just the best thing to do is test. Like, I am a science person. I've been in this business for so long. A lot of these things are microscopic. You can't see them. They're not visible to the eye. You don't know they're there, and you need to test for them. And they are the things that potentially can make you sick. And radon, we know, it's, you know, the leading cause of lung cancer. You need to do it.
Three things left, and you've been very generous with your time. I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm going to go very fast. Tap water.
Tap water. Everybody's got to test their water. I don't care if you have city water, if you have a well. Water needs to be tested every 3 years. What you get at your tap is not exactly what comes in through the pipes or is leaving the plant, so you need to be testing. We've got lead, we've got arsenic, we've got radium, we've got radon. All these things come into the water. Your skin's your largest bodily organ, absorbs into the skin 26 seconds or less. We see in neurologic conditions a lot when we see people, you know, test their hair. These things absorb right into the body. You got to test your water. Have to do it.
Asbestos.
Asbestos. It's one of the things that, unless you're really disturbing it, it's not as big of a problem.
Exactly.
It becomes a problem when, you know, you're going to do remodeling.
You disrupt it and it goes in the air.
It's really hard to find good asbestos companies. There's a couple. If people ever hear the show and they want to call us, we can give good referrals to some asbestos companies because it really is hard. You got to find people who are good at encapsulating it. But, you know, if you live in an older home, it is a concern.
And finally, lead paint.
Lead paint. Again, you know, anything... built prior to 1978.
Yeah,
you got to be concerned about it. When you're doing remodeling, it's not just about doing. You should do containment on any remodeling project. You really need to contain your dust and debris, whether it's mold, dander, dust mites, cockroaches. You know, lead, anything of this. When you're disturbing and tearing things apart, just taking really good precautions and doing really clean remodeling jobs. And
to not be in the not be living in the house when you're doing renovation, which I insist upon, but often people want to stay in the house.
They do. And then, but then you do containment. Like, you really need to hire a contractor that's going to do their due diligence and really contain the job. And not
sealing off rooms, yeah.
And when you're doing it yourself, like, I really, really caution a lot of my clients, like, especially if your house was built, you know, before 1978, when you start scraping paint and doing these things and you have children, you're disturbing this lead dust. It really is a problem. So once you get lead in your system, it doesn't come out. It's not like something you detox. So you really want to avoid lead exposure as much as you can.
Amazing. I have to tell you, Caroline, you've given us so much information in such a short period of time. I can't thank you enough. Just tell our audience your phone number again, your basic information, and your website.
Sure. So if people are interested in testing their homes, learning how to have a healthy home, we have a website that has great shows just like this one on there, so you can, you know, get a bunch of information, which we always recommend. And then you can get your homes tested and find out ways to improve your wellness. HealthyHomeExpert.com is our website. My Healthy Home is the name of our company. And we're happy to service you wherever you are.
Caroline, you were just, it was amazing. I learned so much from you and look forward to having you back right here in studio.
We'll do an in-studio next time.
Thank you very much for being my guest.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, we've come to another end of A Modern Design. I'm disappointed that we have some technical difficulties today, so it did not record on Facebook Live, but we will be back next week and be broadcasting with a guest in-house live here, and we'll be back up on video. But I thank you for listening to the show. Caroline was great, wasn't she? A lot to take in. And we will have her. There were so many topics today that I didn't get to cover. We're going to have her in studio probably in March, and we'll have her back, and we'll talk, and maybe bring some things in that she recommends that we can do to make our home healthier. Well, thank you all, and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
Together, united in this purpose to do our jobs under the Constitution, without regard to party or party loyalty, let us resolve to be allies of the truth and not partners in its destruction.
Harsh words from the Senate floor from Senator Jeff Flake condemning President Trump's attacks on the media. He told what he calls untruths to the American people and for introducing, quote, alternative facts to the American lexicon. Flake's speech comes on the same day as President Trump is expected to hand out his fake news awards. The Deep South is in a deep freeze as hundreds of flights are canceled and schools are closed due to storms in the area. North Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama are under a state of emergency. Storm alerts are out for the Gulf Coast and even a freeze watch is out for Tampa, and a wind chill advisory has been issued for Fort Myers as well. House Speaker Paul Ryan says a long-term solution is needed for the DACA program, and that includes measures to ramp up border security. Congress needs to pass a new funding bill by Friday to avoid a government shutdown. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-361-4221. That's 800-361-4221. 800-361-4221. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
In a White House briefing, the Principal Deputy Assistant Attorney General, Ed O'Callaghan, gave a summary of the number of terrorists still on American soil.
As indicated in the report, as of December 31st of 2016, there are 549 individuals on that list of convictions of terrorism, international terrorism-related offenses. A subsequent DHS analysis of those 549 individuals convicted of international terrorism-related offenses determined that approximately 73%, or 402 of these 549 individuals,